All right. Let's go ahead and get our Bibles while we're all still standing. And open your Bibles up, if you will, and you want to go with me. We're going to be in Psalm 65. Psalm 65. We've been very blessed by how good God has been to us. And the one thing that has been pressed upon my heart has been the fact that I have to repent of this myself, and I have, but I was so anxious and ready for 2020 to be over that I began to look ahead to 2021 without understanding that by looking ahead to something that wasn't here yet, I was missing so many opportunities to do something while the days were still here and now. And so with that in mind, I got to praying about the things that the Lord would has laid on my heart. And some of the things was just how good God has been. Because the Lord has been incredibly gracious. He's been very, very merciful. And has been very long-suffering through this year. I believe that the mercy of God, I believe that we, as a body of believers, and we'll read the Scripture here in a minute, I'll let you sit down, but I believe that we, as the body of Christ, have probably seen God's grace more this past year than I think we've ever seen it in our lifetime. But not for the reasons why most Christians think. I believe that the reason we have seen the grace of God, now don't get me wrong, the goodness and mercy of God, and that's what we're preaching on this morning, is the goodness of God. But I think the goodness of God has been what's got us through this, as healthy as we are. Amen. God has spoiled us. I mean, you look at the other churches around our area, and you look at the other families that are in our town and in our communities, and they have been ravaged by death, and they have been riddled with sickness, and God in His manifold mercy and grace has saw fit to keep us as healthy as He has. We have missed as little a church as we have. Listen, I know we've missed 2 or 3 weeks here and 2 or 3 weeks there, but that is far less than what so many other places are having to miss right now because they can't keep this sickness out of their congregations. So goodness and mercy of God has been so abundant. But I think the grace of God this year has been more so because the church has pushed the patience of an Almighty God to a point that I don't think we've ever seen them do it in our lifetime. How do you say that, preacher? Because Christians who have been looking for an excuse to get out found one, took it, and where are they now? So the grace of God, where we thank the Lord for getting us through and we're still here, I still think the grace of God has been pressed in the opposite direction so much so that we're in a dangerous place spiritually. All right, let's look at what the Scripture says. Psalm 65, praise waiteth for Thee, verse 1. Praise waiteth for Thee, O God, in Sion, and unto Thee shall the vow be performed. O Thou that hearest prayer, unto Thee shall all flesh come. Can you say amen that He hears prayer? Iniquities prevail against Me. As for our transgressions, Thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causest to approach unto Thee, that he may dwell in Thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of Thy house, even of Thy holy temple. By terrible things and righteousness wilt Thou answer us. O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by His strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of the waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at Thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when Thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with the showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with Thy goodness and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Brother Eddie, would you pray and ask God to help us this morning, please? Amen. All right, thank you. You may be seated. Now, Psalm 65, this is a millennial passage. This is talking about the time after the Great Tribulation has ended and the Battle of Armageddon has been fought and Jesus Christ returns and He sets up a kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. And He gives you so many references in this chapter to that time and what that time is going to consist of. He tells you in verse 1 and verse 2, "Praise waiteth for Thee, O God, in Sion." All right, "and unto thee shall the vow be performed." See, the kingdom that He's going to set up will be over there in Jerusalem. It will be over there in the land of Israel. That's where the kingdom will be set up. And then He says in verse 2, "O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." That's where they're going to come, is to that temple in Jerusalem. And that's where they're going to come and they're going to worship. And then in verse 4, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord, or whom the Lord chooseth and causeth to approach unto thee. He may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied even with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things and righteousness wilt thou answer us." And He just goes on and on and on. He goes all the way down to verse 10. "Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof and makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing." I think it's back in verse 9 is where He says, "Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God." So, I mean, this is all talking about that millennial kingdom that's going to be set up for 1,000 years after the tribulation has ended. But the passage of Scripture that I want to focus on today, we find it in verse 11. I'm just going to basically go off of this verse kind of as a springboard. We're going to use this verse as a springboard to get into some other places of Scripture and find some applications that can help us today. And He says in verse 11, "Thou crownest the year with Thy goodness." Here we are with the opening door of a brand new year. I mean, we're 3 days in. 3 days into the brand new year. And the question we ask and need to ask is, what is going on in the first 3 days that makes this year different than the one we just came out of? I don't get to watch a whole lot of TV, but I was watching TV yesterday afternoon or something like that, or Friday afternoon, I don't remember which. And they had talked about, some commercial came on, and they were talking about this New Year's series that they were going to have or something, and it was going to be, "We're going to toast the new year and wave goodbye to the year that we don't ever want to remember." And I want to tell you something, beloved. There's not anything that I want to... I don't want to forget what God did in 2020. Amen. Listen, because although the world kept focused on the storm and while the world kept looking at what things were going on around them, God was still moving and God was still working. How do you know that? Listen, I got other preachers that I keep in touch with. I got a brother that's out in Aurora, Colorado. Brother out there at New Heights Baptist Church, Pastor Adrian Dominguez. That man is such a blessing to me. I get to listen to him. They're 2 hours behind us. So I get to listen to him whenever we get out of church, and I get to, you know, go home and I can sit down and I can catch the middle of his service, and it's a blessing. But I tell you, Brother Adrian and myself have been texting backwards and forwards, and we've been talking, and he's been sending me pictures, and it's pictures of people that have gotten saved in his church in this past year. And he told me, he said, "Brother," he said, "we have had more people saved in this year alone than we have ever had in my church's history of being." He started that church. He went out there and started that church from nothing. And that church has been, I think it's been around for a little over 10 years or 15, something like that, how long that church has been around. And he told me, he said, we've had more people saved in 2020 than we've ever had before. So listen, do I want to forget about 2020? No, I want to remember what God did in 2020. I want to remember how people who were serious about their relationships with God got closer to Him, and how they got stronger in His Word, and how they got more available to His service, and they made themselves more open to listen to what His voice was trying to speak to them, and they became less numb to the fact that there is still a lost and dying world out there that needs somebody to tell them about Jesus Christ. So, some things you can be assured of is this. Number one, no matter what comes. Now, this is just some things. Listen, these are just some things that we have learned in this year, in this previous year. No matter what comes, God is still good. No matter what happens, God is still good. Amen. And then another thing that we get from this is also, if there's anything that we need, there's nothing that we need more than more of His goodness. Amen. Now listen, through everything you go through, He's good. When the things are bad, He's still good. When the things are fearful, He's still good. And when the things look the darkest, He's still good. And if there's anything we need in 21 like we needed in 20, it's still the goodness of God. That's what we need. I mean, man's goodness as compared to God's goodness, there just ain't no comparison. You know, there's 48 different mentions of that word goodness in your Bible between your Old and New Testaments. 48 mentions of that word goodness. Do you know how many of them refer to man? Six. Six out of 48 have to do with the goodness of man, and the rest of them all have to do with the goodness of God. All of them. I'll tell you, 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 32, you find the Bible saying that Hezekiah, whenever he died, the Bible said, and he did that which was good. He said, and all his goodness. So you read about Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Listen, what was Hezekiah's deal? Hezekiah was one of the best kings Israel had, one of them. Now there at the end, he kind of tripped up a little bit because the Lord spared his life, gave him 15 additional years that he wasn't going to have otherwise, and God granted him 15 additional years of life. And during that time, the people of Babylon came over, and he took them and showed them everything in the entire kingdom. And whenever the prophet came and said, what were they doing here? Isaiah the prophet, he came and he says, what were they doing here? Ain't they from Babylon? Yeah, they were. He said, what did you show them? He said, I showed them everything. I showed them everything. And Isaiah more or less just told him, he said, so basically what you did is you let them go window shopping for what they're fixing to come in and get later. All right, well, that ain't the only guy. Another time that you read about the goodness of a man is in 2 Chronicles chapter 35 and verse 26, where you read about another king named Josiah, who was one of the youngest kings to ever take the throne. Took the throne at 6 years of age. Well, could you imagine us voting in a president that's 6 years old? You know? Santa Claus ain't coming to town, so we're going to blow up the North Pole. Amen. Brother says, better than what we got. Amen. But listen, then you go over, let's look at one of these. You're in Psalm 65. Back up and look at Psalm 16. I want to look at some scriptures today. I just want to share some things with you that I hope will bless you. Psalm 16, look at Psalm 16 and verse 2. Well, let's get verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. All right? O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to Thee. There's the goodness of man. He said, the Lord's good. He said, Lord, I'm putting my trust in You. He said, my soul, He said, O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee. You know what I thank God for? I thank God that even when my goodness don't extend to Him, that don't stop His goodness from extending to me. I'm thankful that even when my mercy and my grace don't go out like it should to the other people that need it, I'm glad His mercy and His grace don't stop coming to me. Amen. I'm thankful that even whenever I have a lapse in judgment like so many other people have had, I'm thankful that when the mercy and grace of God needs to reach my soul because I'm in a dire strait, it ain't stopped. It ain't never slowed down. I'm glad this morning that the goodness of God is still just that. It's still good. And it only gets sweeter each and every day that He lets me live. Listen, I am one day closer to glory today than I was yesterday. I'm one day nearer the rapture than I was last week. I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a day when I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be looking for it. And boy, it's going to happen. And when it does, I can sit there and say with a joyful heart, God has been good to me. God's goodness compared to man's goodness, there is no comparison. There is no comparison. Over in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 4, I'll read this to you very quickly. But in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible says this, O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. That's the goodness of man. The goodness of man is conditional. It depends on the environment. You look outside in the morning and you go out there and I go through the grass. I try to avoid walking up to my grandmother's house early of a morning because I have to walk through the grass. And it don't matter if she's cut it or if it ain't been cut in a month, your feet are going to get soaked before you get there because the dew lays so heavy on that. But you know what's going to happen? If I wait until about 10:30 or 11 o'clock and the sun get up, it's going to dry that grass off and I can walk through when it ain't all sopping wet. But listen, that dew is just like the goodness of man. It's conditional upon how good things are going right now. If the goodness, if we feel like being good and it helps us to be good, then we'll be good. But if it ain't going to be, if it ain't convenient, there it is. If it ain't going to be convenient and it ain't going to benefit us in some way, then we tend to be a little bit more weather friendly. Amen? The goodness of God, when it stacks up against the goodness of man, there is no comparison. In Paul's assessment over in Romans chapter 15, and I'll read this one to you also, Romans chapter 15, the Apostle Paul says this in verse 14, Romans 15, 14, And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. He said, when you add the human variable in there, my assessment of you is that you have the ability, let's just read it again. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. You know, sometimes when we compare our goodness to somebody else's goodness, we tend to come out looking okay. But when you compare our goodness to God's goodness, we tend to find ourselves falling a lot more short than what we think. All right? So let's look at a couple of things about God's goodness. Well, what is the goodness of God like? Well, if you go over to the 23rd Psalm and you read that one, it says, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the goodness of God. You know what I love about that is, I've said this to y'all before, but you talk about the sheepdog scenario. Goodness and mercy is the Lord's two sheepdogs, and whenever I, as a sheep, go astray, as I'm prone to do, prone to wander, the song says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And when I tend to want to wander, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. No matter where I wind up, they're there. That's the goodness of God. Come over to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And in Psalm 107, boy, there's a lot of references in this one. And we're going to go through these quickly. Psalms 107, verse 8. He says this, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." All right, verse 9. "For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Verse 15. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." 21. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness." Are you seeing a pattern? It's not only that God is good, but men ought to be praising God for His goodness. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His works toward the children of men." Verse 31. "Oh, that..." There it is again. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness." I think it's oftentimes praiseworthy of how good God's been that we ought to stop from time to time and just say, "Lord, thank You for how good You've been to me. Lord, thank You for how good You've took, how much care You've took of me. Lord, thank You for how You've provided for me. Lord, thank You that I've still got a job. And thank You that I've got the strength to do that job. And thank You that I've still got the mental capacity to be able to formulate the way I have to work and the way I've got to be able to make decisions. Lord, thank You that I have eyes to see. Thank You that my lips still work and I can talk. And thank You, Lord, that I've got something to drive. And man, You could just go on and on. Thank You for the gas You put in there. Thank You, Lord, that there was a pump that was close by. I could get to the gas. Thank You that my tires are still good. At least I hope they are. If it ain't, you know, get you some tires, man. Put you some tires on that vehicle. Driving around on them May Pops in it in the middle of December. No, January, ain't it? We about, hey, listen, y'all understand it. We about halfway through winter already. Glory! Hallelujah! It's going to be camping season again for long. I ain't got no camper, but somebody does, and they're going to enjoy it. And I'm going to pray that they do. Maybe the Lord will give me one. Amen. Listen, God's good. His goodness is far beyond our finding out. Come to, you're in Psalms, just jump ahead to chapter 144. Let's look at one more reference here on the goodness of God, and then we're going to get into a couple of points, and then I'm going to cut you loose. Psalm 144, verse 1. "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war, my fingers to fight." Here He is, my goodness and my fortress. Who is that? He say, that's my goodness. No. He's talking about who His goodness is. He's talking about the Lord in verse 1. "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." So He says, the Lord's my strength. But not only that, verse 2, He's my goodness. He's my fortress. He's my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and He in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. He said, if I've got to have somebody's goodness to tap into, I need to tap into His goodness. Listen, the greatest example that you and I could have as far as our goodness needs to be modeled after His goodness. We talked this morning about children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And then we talked about honor your father and your mother. And then we talked about masters versus servants being in subjection to the masters. But you know the one thing that I was talking to these two about, because they were the ones in here. I was talking to these two. You know what I was telling them during Sunday school? I told them, I said this. I said, in my limited two little bitty years of being a parent, the one thing that I've learned is the value of listening to people that have been through this for so many years. And I've got to listen to people. And one of the things that they have tried to teach me, and one of the things that I believe this book teaches us about how to have grace and how to have some goodness that we need, is to realize that you don't have to extend any more grace to somebody than God's extended to you. And if you want to understand how much grace to give somebody, just look at how much God's given you and return the same in kind. And that's the way you do that. But see, here He says, the Lord is my goodness. Why? Because mine ain't account to nothing. I need to tap into His. Because that's the right kind. That's why I said, you look at how much grace that God's given and you just match it. You just match it. Say, I'll never match that. Well, you ain't never going to if you don't never try. Amen? You'll never do it if you don't ever try. All right? Now, as I said, I told you there was 48 mentions of goodness in the Bible, but only 6 dealt with man. I just give you a few of them there. All right, now let's look at a couple of things. I'm going to give you 2 things, and we're going to quit. Okay? I want you to see, number one, that the goodness of God is not unattainable. That's the reason I gave you that verse over in that 144th Psalm where David said, He's my strength, He's my goodness, because the goodness of God is not unattainable. It is something that is easily attained. Come to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures over here, get us some New Testament application. Galatians chapter 5, and if you know your Bible much, you ought to know where we're going. We're going to be talking about these fruits of the Spirit. And get Galatians chapter 5, and he says in verse 22, Galatians 5 and verse 22, the goodness of God is not unattainable. It is something that is possible for you to have. It's something for you to exercise. It's something for you to use. How do I know that? Because in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now, is Spirit capital or is it lowercase? It's capital. So that means it's the Holy Spirit of God, right? The fruit of the Spirit. These are His fruits. These are results of somebody that have been living in His Spirit. All right? The Spirit of here, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. What? Goodness. So goodness, when you're talking about goodness of God, this is where you find it. How do you find the goodness of God? You find it in His fruits of the Spirit. All right, now you're right there. Just flip over to Galatians, or not Galatians, but Ephesians chapter 5, and look in the same chapter there, chapter 5, Galatians 5, verse 9. And he tells you, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. It's in goodness, righteousness, and truth. Can I tell you something? That the fruits of the Spirit that you just read over there in Galatians 5 are coupled with the grace of God. Those fruits, I know I may be teaching and preaching a little bit. I'm giving you a little of both worlds here. But I think this is something we need to understand. In this year we've got ahead of us, not knowing what's coming, not knowing what may transpire. And I'm wanting to try to get it across to you that it don't matter what comes or transpires. Don't worry about it. God's got this. And that's what I want you to understand. God's good, and it don't matter how bad things get, God's always good. All right, so we look at this and get the New Testament application that the goodness of God is not something that we only receive, but it's something we ought to reciprocate to other people. And the only way we can do that is to realize that when you compare our goodness to His goodness, we fall short, so we must tap into His goodness. And how do we do that? Well, He gives you the fruit of the Spirit, and one of them is goodness, which means it's attainable. That is the connection between you and God. His fruits and you is the grace that couples the two of you together. And that's what enables you to tap in to what He has already lived. Listen, the fruits of the Spirit are called so because they were all evident in the Lord Jesus Christ when He walked on this earth. And I mean, can anybody here say that when He was on the earth, He wasn't good? Bible says He went all around the place doing good. Everywhere He went, He was doing good. All right? So, to produce these fruits, you've got to first be willing to exercise the grace. That's why I said, you don't ever have to exercise any more grace than what God has exercised to you. What God has given to you is what you ought to be giving to everyone else. Now, can I tell you that that is not the easiest thing in the world to do? Because I'll tell you something. You and I can oftentimes become very critical of people. We can become critical of each other. We can become critical of our family members. You can become critical of government officials. Amen! Even though the Lord told you the powers that be are ordained of God. And what are you supposed to do? See, people are sitting there squinting their eyes and they're biting their lip and they're putting their eye teeth in their tongue and they're saying, argh. You know why the Bible says the powers that be are ordained of God? Because you are supposed to pray for them. Ask God to give them wisdom. Ask God to do something for them. Hey, and if you feel like it, ask God to get them out of there if that's what He needs to do. But hey, that's God's business. That ain't mine. I heard a preacher one time, he said, I can't stand these church people that get a preacher in, and then when the preacher's been in for a little while, and one or two decide they don't like him, they start polling other church members to get together a vote of confidence to try to get the preacher voted out, and then they have to call in the community members who ain't been in the door of the church for over a year or more, and they bring them in to have a vote so they can vote the preacher out. Said, if you wanted the preacher gone, why don't you take to the spiritual side of things in the biblical way and pray and say, Lord, either move him or move me. But one way or the other, something ain't jiving here. Why is it that people get that way? I'll tell you why. Because people don't understand what it means to exercise the grace of God. Because they don't know what, they still haven't grasped the fullness of the goodness of God in their own life. Do you know that the grace of God, listen to me, again, we're talking about, so why is it that we find it so hard to not be critical of other people? You can see the faults, we can criticize, man, we can see what those people are doing, and we can tell, I mean, you can stand back there and say, man, if they just do this and this and this and this and this. Easy to do that from afar, isn't it? Hard to do it when you're standing right in the heat of it. But can I tell you something? Do you know why I believe it is that we're so hard on people and we're so down on people and we find it so easy to pick the faults out on other folks? Is because we can't get off of our own selves. You can't let somebody else up off the mat because you can't get off the mat yourself. Amen? Sometimes the worst sin that a person can commit is the sin of their own self-abasement. They don't give themselves a break. Listen, you're a sinner. You're going to mess up. You're going to screw up. And you're going to do it on a number of occasions, on a number of, and every day. Amen. There ain't going to be a day goes by that you ain't going to step at the end of the day to your bed and think, boy, I really screwed up today. At least I hope that's the case. But I'll tell you something, you've got to realize that the goodness of God steps in and He says, yeah, but I can forgive you of all that. And you, by His mercy and grace and understanding His goodness, reach your hand up and He grabs you and He pulls you up off the mat. And He lets you get back on your feet. And when that happens, then you can turn around and look at the people on the mat and say, here, let me help you up. Brother, if one of you be taken in a fall, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I think sometimes the hardest thing we have is the ability to let other people up off the mat because we won't let ourselves up off the mat. Anybody else ever get in a big old scuffle, and not really just fighting because you're mad, but just scuffling with your buddies, and you all pile on top of each other, and they call it the dog pile? You know, it didn't have too many issues except for the guy on the bottom. Generally, and this is speaking from the guy who generally wound up on the bottom. All right, I was generally on the bottom. Hey, listen, I was 23 years old, 22 years old, had just met my wife's family, and all 9 brothers, 9, all of them, the youngest brother, the oldest boy in the whole family, Danny. I think he's got a birthday coming up next week. His birthday's the 10th of January. And he's going to be, I think he's going to be 25 or 26. And I'm fixing to be 34. All right? So I've got about 8 years on him. And him all the way down to the infant, Matthew, who at the time wasn't but about a year. And all 9 of them. They love to get on top of me and wrestle me down in that living room floor and just dog pile on top of me. And then here comes Dad with Matthew, sits him on top of the pile. You know, the cherry on top. So, coming from the guy who found himself on the bottom of the pile more often than not, I can tell you this, it's awful hard when you're the one on the bottom of the pile. Because you got 8 or 9 more on top of you that won't let you up off the mat. Hey, listen, can I tell you something? The devil gets on my ding bad enough. Amen. He gets on my tail end enough. I don't need any Christians doing it. And ain't no Christian need me doing it either. Amen. I get up here in this pulpit and it can real easily. I can get on people's hobby horses and ride them all around till their legs fall off. I could do it. Wouldn't be hard. But I tell you, I'm not up here to hurt nobody. I want to help somebody. You know how you help somebody? Let them off the mat. Yeah, they've messed up. Yeah, they've screwed up. Okay, God's grace took care of them just like it take care of me. Let them off the mat! And then if you can't let them off the mat because you're laying on top of them, get up yourself. The goodness of God is not unattainable. It is something that not only can you receive, but you can have and give to other people. It's very attainable. Your desire in this time should be to want to be more like Him. Right? If you're, Christian, right? Christ-like. I'm a North Carolinian because I'm from North Carolina. I'm a Christian because I'm from Christ. I came forth from Him. He bought me and He gave me new life. I've been born bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. I'm one with Him. I'm seated together with Him in heavenly places. And if there's anything that I ought to be able to exercise, it shouldn't just be the judgment and condemnation. It should be the goodness and mercy of God. Because that's what people need right now. They don't need judgment. Listen, if judgment's the message, give them judgment. If that's the message. But otherwise, you've got to learn to have a little grace and learn to have some goodness because that's what God's given you. Amen. All right, now let's look at one more thing and I'm done. I got two things. That's all I was going to give. Two things and we're done. I'm doing real good too. Now, not only is His goodness is attainable, but of His goodness, there is no end. Amen. There's no end of His goodness. Romans chapter 2, very quickly, if you have your Bible and you're still going with me, Romans chapter 2. I want to give you this and then I'm going to just give you a couple things and I'm going to close. Romans 2, verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. So if the message is judgment, then preach judgment. And I'm not talking from the pulpit. I'm talking in your life, in your walk. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. And if what's going on is contradictory to the book and the message is judgment, then preach judgment. But, verse 3, and thinkest thou this, O man, now be careful. Before you start jumping on verse 2, make sure you catch verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness, and forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Boy, don't you see that the showing them the goodness of God may do more to get them right than just pronouncing judgment on them? Sometimes showing them the goodness of God and the grace of God and how that He still loves them even though they've messed up and how His blood is still available to cleanse away the sin. It's still able to wash away the stain. He'll restore them back to fellowship and He'll put them back in the family and it'll be just as if they never left. That will do more to get them in. Than just sitting here going, man, bless God, you are out of fellowship. You are wicked. You are ungodly. You are living like hell. And God is going to get you. But then we turn around and we may not be smoking and drinking and cussing and chewing and doing all these other things, you know. All these moral sins that we consider to be wicked. But maybe ours isn't. Maybe ours isn't moral, but maybe ours is our thought life. We can't keep our thought life under control. We can't look at something on the TV and not lust after it and want it. And we can't go out into the public eye without looking at somebody that ain't our spouse or somebody and be attracted to them. You see where I'm going? I know that sometimes that gets close to the cotton. Amen. That gets down there low to the ground where anybody can get it. Why? Because just because we ain't out here getting drunk and we ain't out here getting taking alcohol and we ain't out here getting drugged and we ain't out here doing all these wicked, ungodly things that the world knows is wrong and Christians know is wrong. You know what I get so sick and tired of hearing? I've counseled so many young people that went out into the world, and do you know something? Every single last one, all of them, that went out into the world after salvation, do you know what they all told me? Every one of them. Well, you know, I was raised on these pews. Every single one. I was raised on these pews. And I've been on them long enough, I just wanted to see what was out there. Every one of them. Listen, I have been involved with so many young people. I don't even know the number of young people that I've had the chance to preach to in 13 years. It's been a long time, and it's been a lot of kids. And I've got to see, man, God's been good. I got to see a lot of them saved. I don't even remember. We was trying to count one time, and I think we got me and Heather, we was sitting there, and we just went back, and we tried to write it down. Every time a young man would get saved at a youth camp or something, every time we would, we try to write it down, write their name down. And the best we could come up with, I think we had upwards of 74, 75 kids had gotten saved in like 13 years. What is that? Now, that's the goodness of God. But you know what I have to help people realize? Is just because God's good, don't mean you can go out and abuse His goodness. Amen? He said, you're going out and judging people and you're doing the same thing they are. He said, but what you ought to be doing is showing them instead that God still loves them. He wants them to come back and restore them into fellowship. That's what He wants. And that's what I tried to tell them young people. God still loves you. And He wants you to come back. He wants you to get in fellowship. He wants you to quit all this garbage. So, he said goodness back in the Romans 2, there in verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance? What's forbearance? That's Him holding back. That's Him not rewarding you according as your iniquities deserve. Forbearance and longsuffering. All straight from the bank of glory. Why? Because He said it's His riches. Didn't Philippians 4:19? My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. That don't just mean He's going to take care of your bills. That don't just mean He's going to take care of your health and your need for something to eat. And that ain't what that's talking about. Sometimes the need that you and I have is chastisement. And straight from the bank of glory comes the rod of God and gives us a discipline when we need it. What is that? That's God's goodness. You're in Romans chapter 2. We come to chapter 11, and I'm wrapping this thing up, putting a little bow on it. Happy New Year, and God bless you. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. One more you get according to the riches of His grace. You find that in Ephesians chapter 1. And I'll read this to you very quickly. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. He says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Of His goodness there is no end. There's no end to His goodness. We need God's goodness on us. We need it on us. Listen, it has been on us. It is on us. And it will be on us. But I think what we need is we need to understand that the more we exercise and put into practice the goodness of God, the more we see how much of it is already on us. It's like you don't actually see how much something is actually there until you start getting involved with it. I think about that, and I mean, I only have this to go by, but when I pour concrete, I poured some concrete New Year's Eve on a Thursday, New Year's Eve. I had to leave the job early just so I could get here in time for service that evening. But we was pouring, and we had these forms set up on a rock. We had to drill and pin into a big old rock up in Cedar Hill, and we're pouring these footers, and man, I'm sitting here looking at these footers, and the guy that's running the hose, he's standing there, and he just keeps shooting and keeps shooting and keeps shooting, and I'm sitting here going, I'm standing way up yonder on top of the hill waiting for him to need to move so I could pull the slack out of the hose for him. And this guy just standing there and standing there and standing there. And I hollered at him. I said, "Hey, man." I said, "Don't overfill it." He says, "I'm not." And I said, "You're piling that up where it's way up over the top of them panel, them forms." And a guy come up there to the top where I was, and he said, "Go down there and help him." So I handed the hose off, and I started walking down there. And when I got closer to where he was and saw his vantage point, I realized that the thing was actually a lot less full than what I thought. And sometimes when it comes to seeing the goodness of God in our own life, we don't really fully understand it until we start expressing the goodness of God to others. And that's what it takes for us to see just how good God's been to us. What is that? It's a different perspective, which is what we need in 21. They talked about 2020, and I made reference to it too. 2020, the year of clearer vision. You know, we need 2020 vision. Well, I hope you realize that in optometry, the higher the number, the worse the vision. In 2010, we should have had some good vision. But we didn't. Because we were all sitting on the backside of a recession, so we didn't. None of us had some vision. I had really good vision. I got married that year. So one of y'all tell her that when she get back in here. But 2020, we got 2020 vision. Well, in 2021, it's going to start getting worse and worse. The vision is going to get less and less. So what you need to do is get a good glimpse of the goodness of God and realize how much of it's actually on you. One verse of Scripture, and I'm going to close this thing. I'm not even going to give an invitation this morning. We're going to close in prayer, and we're going to dismiss. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. I'm going to read this to you very quickly, and we're done. As every man hath received the gift. You got that? As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Not less, the same. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In this week upcoming, I would ask you and challenge you. I'd challenge you to do this. In the week upcoming, this is what I challenge you to do. The goodness and grace that God has shown you, show to someone else. And when you do, let the Lord open your eyes to see just how good He's actually been to you. I ain't going to sit here and tell you that that ain't been without its storms. Amen. We've all had our storms. But through it all, there was Jesus. Through the whole thing. Father, thank You. Lord, we appreciate so much the chance that we've had to be in church on a Sunday morning. And Lord, we give glory to You and praise and honor. And just with all our hearts, we want to thank You and give You glory. We pray that You'd please watch over and be with us as we dismiss. Lord, thank You for the Word. Thank You, Lord, for the attendance and the attention of the people. Lord, I pray that You would get all the credit, Lord, for what's done. And Lord, may we show the goodness of God that You've given us. May we show it to other people. That we may understand better what it means for to know how good You've actually been to us. That the goodness of God is not unattainable, but we have that same goodness and grace inside of us. We merely need extend it to somebody whose back is on the mat. And they just can't seem to get up. Help us not to be the one to stand over them with our foot and our chest, keeping them from getting up. But help us with the Spirit and goodness of Your fruit to reach down and get them by the hand and pull them up off the mat. and let them know that God still loves them and He wants to see them do right. Be with us now. Go with us and direct us. Be with these prayers that we are about to offer up.